Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Last time we met, we looked at one of those tremendous promises of God found in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, where the Bible says, let your conversation, your manner of life, really is what it signifies, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then we have these words in verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There are a number of ways in which we can describe the Lord. We, a few weeks ago, were noting the words of Job concerning the Lord and his great personal assurance, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He could speak of the Lord as his own personal Redeemer. My Redeemer. And this is a tremendous thing to be able to say in your own heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Redeemer. Not just the Redeemer of all of God's elect, but personally he is my Redeemer. And again, as we think about that, here is one of these personal pronouns that's attached to another description of the Lord. Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. My helper. What comfort there is in that thought. All of us require help in our lives, and the Lord has promised to give us the help that we need. There are so many different aspects that this brings to our minds. Last time we talked about the assurance that Paul had here that he shared with other believers, because you'll notice that there's a collective pronoun that he begins with in verse 6. So that we, not just I, but we may boldly say, the Lord is, and here's the change, my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So here you have the collection, the aggregate of God's people, including Paul. All of us together can collectively say, and then we can say it personally, the Lord is my helper. And why can we say that? How can we say that? What's the basis for that assurance? Well, it is the word of God. Verse 5, for he hath said. And then you come to verse 6, so that we may boldly say. The basis of his assurance that the Lord will be his helper is found in the word of God. We mentioned several things about the Lord's word. It is a sure word because of who it is that says it. It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of God. He hath said. And we pointed out that the word he, the pronoun there, in the text is emphatic in the original Greek. That means there's real emphasis on that little word. He, or you could say he himself hath said. This is the Lord. So this really means something to us. It's all right someone, another human being, giving us a promise and saying, well, I'll do this for you and I'll be that to you. But that doesn't mean anything really, because so often we're let down by our fellow human beings. Someone will promise you the earth and deliver nothing, but not the Lord. This is a sure word because of who says it. He hath said, and therefore we may boldly say. Not only is it a sure word, it is a specific word. And it's a word that's found not only here in Hebrews, but it's found throughout the Old Testament as well. And we referred to a number of those particular references. The Lord had said this to Joshua in one instance. He said it again in various other places that he would always be with his people. I will never leave nor forsake thee. And we went on to talk about the fact that it was a special word because of those to whom it was spoken. It was spoken to the Lord's people. Those that are truly his. And even though originally this promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, was given to Joshua, yet we can appropriate that promise. Every believer can take the promises of God and apply them to his own life. They become our property in Christ. They're ours. The Bible tells us that there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." So this comforting assurance given to Joshua, every Christian can say, it belongs to me. It is a special word. And it's a solid word because of what it means. The Lord will never either leave nor forsake us. He's not going to let us go, is the literal idea here. He will in no wise fail or forsake us. If you're a true child of God, the Lord will never abandon you. He will never give you up. He will never desert you. What a tremendous promise this is. And therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And that's what I want to consider with you tonight. There are two chief thoughts that I want to bring before you in this part of the text. Hebrews 13, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Here is our comfort, first of all. Having thought about what he hath said, and that's in the last part of verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, where, as we've pointed out, there are five negatives. It's a gracious promise. Because of what the Lord has said, we are comforted, and we may say something in response to that. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And the word helper that's used here is a tremendously comforting word. The word helper is a Greek word that is in the original, which is a compound of two verbs. One means to cry, and the other has the meaning of to run. So when you think about these two verbs, the one meaning to cry, it means to cry out for help. So there's this thought of one who is ready and willing and able to help us because we cry out to him for that help. And the other meaning is to run. So that this compound word gives us a picture of one who is ready to run at the cry of another. You know how sometimes you hear someone who's in trouble and they cry out, help! And when you hear that, you immediately run to where that voice is coming from. Maybe somebody who's in a position that they can't extricate themselves from, maybe in some position of danger, maybe they're in a fire or whatever it may be, and they're crying out for help, and you run for their help. That's the idea in this particular verse and in this particular word. The Lord is my helper. That is, he's one who's ready to answer my cry for help. He's ready to run to my aid. And doesn't that bring us back to Psalm 46? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Or as the metrical version puts it, God is our refuge and our strength in straits, a present aid. He is one who comes immediately to help us, answering our cry. This is a tender-hearted Lord who has a heart of love toward his own. The Puritan Thomas Brooks said, "You know the tender father, the indulgent mother, the careful nurse. They presently run when any of them hears the child cry or sees the child in any danger or distress. So when God sees his poor children in any danger or distress, when he hears them complain and cry out of their suffering their bonds, their burdens, their oppressions, their dangers, he presently runs to their relief and succor. The Lord is my helper. The one to whom I may cry, the one who will respond to that cry, who will come running to my aid. There's great comfort in that. One preacher said of this, let this Magna Carta of thine eternal security turn sighing into singing and repining into rejoicing. The Lord is my helper. Now, what kind of a helper is he? Well, he's a powerful helper. He's one who is almighty. And that's one of the words that's used of the Lord in Scripture. He's called the Almighty. Sometimes it's attached to the word God. He's the Almighty God. Sometimes it's just the Almighty. And that tells us who he is. It tells us about his power. Who is like him in all the world, Thomas Brooks said. When friends cannot help, when power cannot help, when policy cannot help, when riches cannot help, when princes cannot help, when parliaments cannot help, yet then God can and will help his people. He is an almighty helper. The Old Testament speaks of the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Or in the book of Psalms, we read there in Psalm 121, and sometimes we will sing the metrical version of that as well. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. But actually the thought here, if you look at it in the original, is of lifting up your eyes to beyond the hills. It's not just lifting your eyes to the hills, but beyond the hills, to the one who made the hills. That's the next verse. My help cometh from the Lord, Jehovah, which made heaven and earth. The Lord is my helper. He's an almighty helper. The one who made heaven and earth, the great creator, is the one who says, I will help thee. Therefore, we are not to be afraid. Think of the words in the book of Isaiah. How often the Lord promises to help his people. And he certainly does this in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then verse 13 and 14 of that chapter. Isaiah 41, 13 and 14. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. What a tremendous comfort this is. Whatever you need tonight, the Lord is abundantly able to help you. Can anything be considered to be too hard for the Lord? Now we can say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. He's a powerful helper. He is, furthermore, a perpetual helper. He's a constant help to his people. This was David's comfort in a day of distress in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's not a fair weather friend or companion. One said, when the dark hour comes, when the storm beats about us, when the grievous blow falls, he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The one who will always be near us to help us. I will never, never fail thee. I will never thee forsake. He is a perpetual helper. And he is a present helper, a very present help. Isn't that how it's put in Psalm 46? A very present help in trouble. He's not afar off. You know, sometimes do we not, I know I do, have the idea in our minds, well, you know, the Lord is in heaven and he sees all that's happening here on the earth. And there's maybe unconsciously or maybe even consciously in our minds the idea that there's a great distance. You know, the Lord is up there in heaven, but he's far away, even though he has an all-seeing eye and he sees what's going on. But he's sort of detached from us. He's a far away helper. But this is not the case. He is a very present help in trouble. Not a distant spectator. Not far removed from us in a far off planet or sky. He is a present help. Used to be in the old days when someone was dying, a loved one lying seriously ill in hospital or in bed, and perhaps they were near death, telegrams would be sent to relatives who lived a far distance away. Sometimes telegrams were sent from the family who were with the dying loved one to tell these other ones, look, our loved one is about to pass, or it looks like it's not going to be long, and they would get a telegram back. The reply would be, sorry, cannot come. And there are times when genuinely people can't be there to help their loved ones. It just is a physical impossibility. But that's never the case with the Lord. The Lord is always a present help. He's always right there when we need him. Just when we need him most, as the little hymn puts it. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most. He is a very present help. These are great words of assurance. He will help immediately, furthermore. He's a present help. He's not only present in the sense that he's on the spot, but he's present in point of time. The Lord is my helper. It's in the present tense. It's not just the Lord will be my helper. And that's true. But it's the Lord is. He's already my helper. He's already right there. And how good it is to be able to say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Yes, he has. Always, when we've needed him in the past, he has helped us. But if I'm stranded at the present and can't have the assurance that the Lord is my helper here and now, what good would that be? Well, he was my helper before, but he's not really here to help me now. But he is. And the promise of future help would be of little cheer unless we get the help that we need right now. I don't think it would be very comforting to a man who's drowning to tell him the lifeboat will be coming out to rescue you in a week's time. That wouldn't be very helpful. It wouldn't be very comforting to a starving person to tell them that in a month's time somebody will be along to give you a loaf of bread. No, we have a helper who is not only very present, but he is ever present. The Lord is your helper now, believer. Right now, you can say, the Lord is my helper. It is true that the Lord is a powerful helper. He's a perpetual helper. He is a present helper. But also he is a personal helper. And again, we emphasize this. This is an individual comfort. It's a promise that all the Lord's people can take to themselves, because we may boldly say, but it's personal. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And what a blessed word that is. I will help thee, the Lord said in Isaiah 41. He said it three times over. The Lord is your helper, believer. I know that we hear about the Lord's help to other people in their times of trouble. And sometimes we have difficulty receiving any comfort from that. And I think it's our own unbelief that keeps us thinking, well, the Lord has met the needs of others and he's able to meet the needs of others, and we've heard of him meeting the needs of others, and we agree that yes, God can do many wonderful things for other people. But then when we hear that he can do the same for us, we don't really believe him. We don't seem able to suck the sweetness out of the promise for our own hearts. Listen, I will never, never fail thee. I will never, never forsake thee. That's what the verse in Hebrews 13:5 is saying. Therefore, we can say the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. The hymn says, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. The Lord is my helper. So there's the comfort. Our comfort is in this great text. But then there's reference, I think, that needs to be made to our conduct, because this particular promise is something that is to be a preservative against covetousness and cowardice. You see how this promise appears right in the context of verse 5. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, it means, as we've indicated, your manner of life, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And look at this, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So there are two potential problems that we face as believers right in the context here. One is that we have hearts that are covetous, and the other is we have hearts that are filled with cowardice, fear. And look at the first one. Let your conversation be without covetousness. As we indicated before, that word conversation nowadays is generally limited to our speech, to the things that we say. But when the Authorized Version was put together, the word actually meant one's whole manner of life. And so we're not to restrict this to the things that we say with our lips. It actually, conversation is a word that it comes from a verb meaning to turn. And so in our text, it means that our turn of mind, our mental attitude, our disposition is to be away from covetousness. We're to turn our backs on covetousness and rather to be content. Without covetousness comes from a Greek negative meaning to be free from the love of silver or from the love of money. We read it here in our Authorized Version, be content with such things as ye have. The idea literally is that you be content with present things, or we might even say with present circumstances. Now that's easy to say. That's really easy to say. But when your present circumstances are tough circumstances, and we know that there are all kinds of things that can happen in your life that could be described as tough. When you face bitter disappointment or some bereavement or something that has happened or is happening and it's very unpleasant, humanly speaking, how can you be content with present things? How can you still say praise the Lord even though you don't feel like saying that at all? Well, it's obviously possible when the Lord gives you the injunction and gives you the exhortation to do so. This is not optional. This is a command. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, or be content with present circumstances or with present things as they are. How can you do that? Well, you can do that when you look at the Lord's promise. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's saying, for, or because, He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How can we be content in present circumstances? Because the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. He's going through this with you, whatever it may be that you're going through. I mentioned recently a family who were just so tragically bereaved in the loss of their 15-year-old daughter. Tragic circumstances from every standpoint, every way you think about it, just awful. It's been very much on my mind. I've thought a lot about it. There are postings that people have made about it, things that have been sent to me about the circumstances of it. It's just, on a human level, heartbreaking. Just really devastating. And if I were talking to that family and trying to minister to them and trying to encourage them in some way, what would I say to them? What could I say to them? Well, I don't think I could do better than just to quote the scripture. And just to say, look, you may not feel it right now, but I can tell you it's true. The Lord can enable you not to necessarily enjoy circumstances as they are, but to be content with such things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is with you. The Lord will continue to be with you. The Lord will be your helper. And you can boldly say that. The Lord is my helper. I don't need to be wishing that things were different, because that's not going to change anything. But I can look to the Lord for his grace to help me even to say something that I don't necessarily feel is true. And that is that the Lord is my helper. The Lord is with me. The Lord is a present help even in time of trouble. And then you notice the other thing that is a potential. And that is fear. Not just covetousness, and we could say an awful lot about that, but it also mentions here cowardice. Cowardice. Where do you find that? Well, in the text it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And sometimes we find that our Christian lives are stifled and stymied by the fear of man. When Paul was writing to the Hebrews, he was writing to people who had actually suffered, if you read chapter 10, the loss of many things. They had taken the spoiling of their goods, he said, joyfully. But you'll notice as well that he talked about them enduring a great fight of afflictions. Hebrews 10, verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. So they were not very well treated. And then he said, for you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. There was a lot that they had suffered at the hands of men, and they could have been very afraid of what man could do to them. But Paul said, don't be afraid of what man can do to you, because the Lord is your helper. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What can men do to us? What's the worst that they can do? Well, they can kill us. They could kill us. But we're not to fear those that can kill the body, but him who can kill both body and soul in hell. We're not to fear men whose breath is in their nostrils. We're not to fear those who, after they have killed, there's no more that they can do. We're not to be paralyzed by the fear of man. We're not to be worried about the prospect of persecution. There was a great missionary in what is now Iran. It used to be known as Persia. That missionary was called Henry Martyn. Henry Martyn died as a young man. He was only about 32, similar to Robert Murray McShane, just a couple of years older than him. Always think about him, McShane, David Brainerd, all in the same sort of area as far as their years on earth were concerned, in around 30. But he was exposed, Henry Martyn was, to peril and great insult among the Muslims, the Mohammedans, as they were called in that day, in Persia. But he said this, he found that sneers were more difficult to bear than brickbats. And that fear of ridicule is something that a lot of Christians have trouble with. Nobody likes to be laughed at. Nobody likes to be mocked. Nobody likes to be the butt of someone's jokes. But no matter, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It doesn't matter whether on one hand it's outright brutality or on the other hand just sarcasm and sneering and mockery. It doesn't matter. The Lord is my helper. One wrote, in the presence of illness, adversity, persecution, danger, the true Christian can say with George Whitefield, I am immortal till my work is done. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So often we are man-conscious or even self-conscious when we ought to be God-conscious and Christ-conscious. Do we always side with Christ no matter what company we're in? That's a great test of where you really stand. You know, sometimes people can be very, very good Christians in the company of other Christians, but not so much in the company of the unsaved. But the Lord Jesus said that if you are not ashamed of him before men, then he will not be ashamed of you on that great day of judgment. We should never be ashamed of Jesus. The Lord was never and will never be ashamed of us. Let's not worry about what men can do to us. It really doesn't matter. The Lord has promised to be with us at all times. As the hymn puts it, I will never, never leave thee. I will never thee forsake. So we have that promise. It is a great comfort. It is something that we can hold tight to our hearts. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Doesn't matter what comes or goes. The Lord is with me. The Lord is helping me. The Lord will continue to help me, even to the end. So may God comfort our hearts from this word. My helper. What a tremendous assurance there is in that. What comfort there is in that. What a challenge there is in that for our conduct. The Lord is my helper. So let us not be ashamed of him. Let us stand for him. Let us live for him, knowing that he will always be with us, whatever comes, whatever goes. May God write this word upon our souls. Amen.